Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first scripture is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in the things you've learned and firmly believed, since you know from whom you've learned them. From infancy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every work. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God for the people of God.
As I mentioned a few minutes ago in prayer, that this week our leaders and our delegates are in Costa Rica doing the work of putting together the logistics of what it means to be a denomination. And though for many people denominations aren't a big deal, they serve a purpose to help us work together in a group to accomplish the kingdom of God. It also lets people know who we are. You know, somebody can say, I go to a church. Well, that's okay. Is it a Mormon church? Is it a Latter-day church? Is it a, you know, the first church of the grass-smoking people from California church? I don't know. You know, you could say you're from church, but we don't know what you are until we find out something. One of the benefits of having a church that has connected with a denomination is you have sort of an idea of what they believe. Of course, the problem then with the Global Methodist Church is they had a, or not the Global Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, is they had this sort of a big tent that it's like, if you could believe anything you want and be part of us, just you don't offend anybody else. And the problem is you didn't know when you went to a lot of times the United Methodist Church what kind of church you would go into. What did they really believe? But they're not, but Methodists originally had these distinctives, things they believed. When John Wesley started the Methodist Church, there were things that all Methodists were agreed upon and thought were vital. And when we say that we're Methodist, we don't say we're Methodist because John Wesley said it. Or some would say we're not Wesleyans because John Wesley said it. We're Methodists, we're Wesleyans because it's in the Word of God. And John Wesley taught it that way. In the Church of the Nazarene, amongst pastors, there used to be this quote that I never did like. I'm sort of a rebel sometimes. Is whoever finds the best John Wesley quote wins. Well, that's nice, but I always looked at it this way. Whoever is following this quote wins. And John Wesley would say that. He would say it was scripture. In fact, one of the most famous quotes that he said I want to make sure you see this. We aren't Methodists because John Wesley said it, but we believe, like all historical Methodists, that truth is found in the authority of Scripture. It's Scripture we look to. We may look through it through the lens of how John Wesley talked about it, but if it's not in Scripture, we're not going to follow it. And the quote I was going to say, talk about, John Wesley said, I have thought I am a creature of the day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. I am a spirit come from God and returning God, just hovering over the great gulf, till a few moments I am seen no more. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. He's basically saying, I'm here and I'm gone, and I want, things are going to happen. But then he says, I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land on that happy shore. God himself has consented to teach us the way. For this end, he came from heaven. he hath written in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be homo omnes libro, a man of one book. That's what we believe. This is our foundation. This is how we base our Christian life. Oh, I forgot I had the quote up there. Usually I go over this before my message, but it's been a little crazy this morning with Michelle being in the hospital and all. But I love it. He says, I want to be a man of one book. Of course, he had to say it in Latin, which I'm sure I slaughtered horribly. Oftentimes people talk about, with Wesley, they talk about his quadrilateral. And Wesley, though he never taught this, he believed it. The problem is the way it's been taught today is wrong. People say Wesley used scripture. He used reason. He used tradition and experience to work out his Christian life. And he did. But the thing was, scripture was not one of four. Scripture was the primary. He used tradition and experience and reason to try to understand how this applied to his life. But ultimately, if his experience didn't line up with this, he judged his experience wrong. He would say that if his reason said one thing, but the Word of God said something else, his reason was wrong. Though he loved tradition, he would have said that tradition, if it doesn't line up with this, is wrong. We do use reason. God gave you a mind, and I would like you all to use it, especially as you're driving home. We have traditions. They're a beautiful thing that help enlighten us and show how other Christians throughout the centuries, millennia, have read the Word of God and have explained it. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like experience. Experience is a beautiful thing. How many have ever felt God's presence in a mighty way? You just felt that God was there. You felt Him moving in your heart and your life. Those are wonderful things. They're the difference between standing by the sea and looking at a map. But let me tell you, if you want to get anywhere, you better have a map. Experiences are a great thing, but if they're not guided by this, if I drop you into a middle of nowhere without a map, you may say, oh, I feel like that's the right way. If you're me, you may end up someplace you weren't expecting. That's why I'm glad I have a map. Or nowadays, we would say Google. We have something that can show us the right way. I don't know about you. If I want to see downtown, let's say Indianapolis in Christmas, I can Google the directions, and that'd be cool. So I can get there. But that doesn't give me the experience, does it? No. But if I want the experience, I better have the map. Because if I go by my own ideas, I get myself in trouble. So this Wesley quadrilateral is a good tool, but Wesley would say it's not equal. Scripture is our primary tool to experience and know how to live our Christian life. And the church has always looked to Scripture. We see in the book of Acts, the early apostles were saying, it's not good that we would leave the study of Scripture to just go take care of other people who are in need. That need's important. But we need to be studying the Word of God so we can help teach. What were they teaching? What were they studying? They were teaching the Bible, the Old Testament. That's what they had at the time. They understood we need scriptures. We need them interpreted correctly. We need to know them. And as the church grew and God inspired the New Testament, the church realized this was important. And it became a vital part of the church. The scripture we read a few moments ago, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for instructions, for conviction, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may, or the woman of God, I'll just say that, may be complete and fully equipped for every good work. Paul was convinced that what Christians needed was to be complete and fully equipped. Paul wasn't saying that the Word of God is divine, that we believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Scripture. No. We believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Scripture is not something that we should pray to or look to as something divine. Let me tell you something. If you come up with the devil and you hold your Bible in there, and all you got is your Bible, you're a dead man. That's like having an empty gun. It's not going to do any good. The devil's not afraid of your Bible. He's afraid of Jesus who's in you. And when you have his word in you, then he's really afraid. I'm not going to get into the arguments about what's all scripture and what all isn't. We believe the 66 books of the Bible. And this has been from the early church. From the first centuries of the church on, they've believed that what we have here is the Word of God. Some people want us to argue about errors and mistakes. Oh, do you know that this was wrong? This wasn't in the earliest manuscripts. Let me tell you something. Some of the things that the most famous one was the woman caught in adultery. They said, that wasn't exactly found there. It's found in other places in the Bible, in other different translations, and some places it's not even found. Here's the thing. The early church knew that. They talked about it. And you know what they said? Yes, maybe in different translations that story's in different places, but it is God's word. They believed it was inspired. Some people want to argue, well, you know, the last part of the book of Mark, that wasn't in some of the earliest manuscripts. Guess what? The early church knew that too. And they dealt with it. They looked at it and they said, yeah, there's some differences here. But you know what? It matches up with the rest of Scripture. So why are you freaking out? Those weren't the exact words they used. They used more eloquent words than that. That's my way of saying it. What are you freaked out about? It's the Word of God. It all lines up together. Why are you worried about this? Here's the thing. If you want to find errors, if you want to find a problem with the Word of God so you don't have to listen to it, you'll find something. It's kind of like if you don't like somebody, you'll find something you don't like about them. If you decide you don't like me, you might look up and say, you know what, I don't like the way he does his hair. I'd like to see you do better with it. If we want to find something wrong, and let me tell you something, the world does. Why? Because once we admit that this is authoritative, that this is God's word, we've got to start doing what? We've got to start listening to it. We've got to start letting it instruct us and convict us and correct us. Oh, yeah, we all like that, don't we? How many just love correction? Okay, I got a bunch of honest people here. Good. We don't, do we? But let's be honest. We need it sometimes. We need somebody to come in and say, I appreciate what you're thinking, but you're wrong. Here's the right way to do this. And that's what we have the Word of God for, to correct us, to train us, to help us be all that God wants us to believe. We need every bit of this. We need the Word of God to change us, to touch us. Another thing, the Bible we have is trustworthy and accurate. Again, some people want to argue that, but you can take it from the quotes of early first century or second century church fathers, and you can find every quote in the Bible. It matches up. So people who want to, like I say, want to find errors, they will. But what we have is trustworthy. It's accurate. We can use it. And the scripture says that God, the Word of God is God-breathed. And this is an interesting thing. This isn't just an action that took place thousands of years ago. But God's Word, the Bible, is God-breathed even today. You say, how is that? It's God-breathed because God moves by His Holy Spirit in your heart to help you see it accurately. In a sense, God's Spirit, God's breath moves within you, so you, when you read it, you see it in the right way. St. Clement, St. Augustine, and many other early church fathers emphasized the role of the Holy Spirit to illuminate the meaning of Scripture. And since we believe the Spirit created and wrote the Word of God through the authors, we need that Holy Spirit to enlighten us today. Because you really cannot understand the Word of God unless the living Word, Jesus, His Spirit, lives within you. It's kind of like, some may say, I know a language. I've never heard it spoke, but I know it. You may have some ideas, but you really don't know it. You really don't know a language unless you've heard it. And unless you hear the Spirit of God moving within you, you're really not going to get what the Bible says. How many have ever heard somebody teach something and was completely off the wall? And they're pulling out scriptures and they're like saying, see, this proves my point. Years ago, there was a group of people who got together and they said, we believe the Bible teaches that it is a holy sacrament to smoke pot. The Bible says God created grass and it was good. I think that was their spirit inspiring how to read something. I don't think that was the Holy Spirit. How many of you think I'm right? Yeah. The Spirit also helps us apply the truth to our situation. It doesn't teach us new truths or something different. It teaches us how to apply it to our life. How many have ever used a tool? I bet all of you used some sort of tool, right? You know, it seems pretty straightforward. Here's how you use a hammer. But if you ever used a hammer much, you learn after a while. Sometimes you need to get there and you need to get a nice solid whack. Sometimes, depending on what you're doing, you need to go. It's a hammer. It's the same all the time, isn't it? No. It is the same, but sometimes how it's applied is a little different. There are no new truths. But the truth there is there to help us. It's there to give us salvation. It tells us what we need to do, not just to be saved in the sense of, I got to prayed once to ask Jesus into my heart and now I'm okay forever. No, it's given us salvation to save us in every area of our life. Because God's salvation isn't just a pass to get you out of hell, but a pass to get you out of your nasty life, out of sin, into a better life. Therefore, the Bible's there not just to give us a pass to heaven, but also there to correct us, to train us for completeness, for, as we might say, holiness. It's there to teach us how to be equipped for every good work. In other words, it's there to teach us how to live a life worthwhile. Scripture is there to touch every area of your life. It's to teach you how to live and how to handle situations. It can tell you there's a better way. Scripture that we read earlier, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says, "For the word of God is living and active." If it's living, it's moving. It's doing something. If the word of God is nothing more than a book that you sit down and there it is, then there's a problem. Because this should be something that's living and active in your life. Of course, if you never read it, you never look at it, it can't be active. It's like the person who says, "I don't know why my computer isn't doing anything. Have you turned it on?" "Oh, I'm supposed to turn it on?" That would be a first step, yes. Thankfully, I think that computers are more complicated than scriptures, so most of you are going to be okay. It's living after, it's sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing the divide in the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judging the thoughts and intention of the heart. The word of God is there, and it cuts. It cuts in, and it cuts out. The Bible, they say, two-edged sword, we might use today if we were saying it, it's a scalpel. It opens you up so it can cut out what is unhealthy, so you can live a healthy life, so what is unhealthy can be removed. Again, that isn't always comfortable. A couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, I think it was, my daughter had to have her toenails removed because she had bad ingrown toenails. Yeah, they got the scalpel out all right. Chop, chop, cut, pull, yank. Ouch! You know, she wasn't comfortable the day afterwards. Or the day after that. And here's the thing about the Word of God. When it does its work, it may feel uncomfortable. You may feel like something's wrong for a while. But once healing finally comes, you'll be much better off than you were. A church, a person, they can believe, claim they believe the Word of God. And I hear a lot of people say, "I believe in God, I trust God, I believe in the Bible." Are you living it? That's like somebody saying, "I'm a Democrat, but I haven't voted for a Democrat in 50 years. And I sent money to Donald Trump last week." "And you're what?" "I'm a Democrat." "Yeah, and I'm the Pope." You can say you believe the Word of God, but unless you apply it to your life and make it your authority, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because I believe it's in the Word of God. Somebody can say, "I'm a Methodist." But I'll tell you something. You're not a Methodist. And I think John Wesley would stand with me and agree. You're not a Methodist if you don't believe this is the Word of God, and we will stand on it, and we will judge our lives based on this. Let us be, as John Wesley said, a man of one book. Not that we can't look at other books. Other books can be good. But the book that we need to look to for our salvation, for our life, is this one. And when we do that, amazing things can happen. Because this is not a dead book. This is a living book. It is something that can and will transform your life if you let it. The first thing you got to do is open it up and read it and see what it says to you. You say, well, there are parts of it I don't understand. Guess what? There are parts I don't either. But as I believe it was Mark Twain that once said, he said, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that I have a problem with. It's the part I do. The problem is sometimes we want to use the excuse, it's those parts I don't understand. Yeah, but are you working on the parts you do? God may not giving you understanding about parts of it because he's like, you haven't figured out how to apply what I've already given you. Why should I give you more wisdom, more knowledge about how this applies to your life and to the world if you're not even using what I've got? If I say, hey, I need 10 bucks to buy some food, or I need some money to buy some food, and you give me 10 bucks and drop me off in front of McDonald's, and guess what? You can still buy a meal. Not a lot, but you can buy a meal still for 10 bucks at McDonald's. Used to be you could do it with one, but we're not going to get into that. And I stand there with the 10 bucks and say, but I need a million first. How many are going to give me $1 million? How many if I stand there and say, oh, I need $200 first before I go in there and get something to eat? How many are going to give me $200? How many might be tempted to take back the 10? Probably. Here's the thing. People say, they look at God and say, God, I want a full understanding. And God says, you're not even using what I've given you. Why should I give you more? And here's the thing. If he gave you more, that would be more you were responsible for. And the more you would be judged against you. And God doesn't want to give you any more. He doesn't want to give you any more responsibility than you're already willing or able to handle. He doesn't want to judge you on something more if you're not willing to do what he's already given you. So let's not ask ourselves, Lord, I don't understand. Let's ask God, Lord, help me to apply what I do understand. Let the word of God touch me and change me. Is it easy? No. We talked about it. It's like a scalpel. Somebody comes at you with a scalpel, none of us are singing, yay! You know, that's why we had people who were getting ready to face one in a few days to come up and had prayer. Why? Because it's scary. It's uncomfortable. And let me tell you something, the word of God will be uncomfortable sometimes. But it is the thing that will, if you're a Christian, it is the thing that has saved you. It is the thing that is saving you. And it is the thing that will carry you through. So let's look and trust the word of God. Those wonderful words of life. And then let's go on and tell the story to the world around us. If I have our singers come forward today, and let's stand and sing that we love to tell the story. The story of Jesus. The story found in the Word of God. Now may the Spirit go with you and teach you and bring you into all truth. And may you share that with the world around you. May God's Spirit
fill you with love and peace as you face each day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go forth with God.